Show some respect, boy, genuflect down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm. Brush up your Friday salon. Then come and meet a spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, mighty as he, Ali Ababwa. Strong as 10 regular men, definitely.
All right, there's your Will Smith.
Yeah.
It's not exactly Wild Wild West, is it?
No.
Richard Roper is in, I can't remember if he's in Las Vegas or Los Angeles, but he's in one of those lost places. And
I'm in Las Vegas. Hey, listen, William Shatner just called. Now he's lost your number. So he wants me to do a, to forward the call later. So we'll work on that a little bit later on.
Oh, my God.
He's the nicest guy ever.
Was the, and I was trying to figure out how it was that William Shatner had my phone number, but not my phone number. It was, and it was the greatest conversation I've had all year with anybody. I mean, he's 88 years old, right? And he's still totally with it and a great performer. But he could not figure out how it was he was calling this number and he was getting me and not his intended, this Kevin Burns guy, the director. He did not know why it was. And so I said, well, what number are you calling? He goes, I don't know why this number's forwarding to you. I go, so then he reads back my number. And and I said to him, well, that's my number. Well, then why isn't Kevin Burns answering it? I go, because it's my number.
It was very confusing.
You better check. I think George Takei is trying to send you a fax as we speak.
It was very, 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 very odd moment. And I was thinking, I was wondering if you were somehow in the middle of this. If that somehow,
I have nothing to do with it, for once.
It turns out that we don't even know. We don't even know the answer to the question.
But it's very nice of you, Ro, to handle that whole thing, connect these two parties. Bill Shatner, very happy that you did it.
Yes. He just called back. Wow. He just called the control room back to thank our producer for that and say, hey, listen, we'd love to come on with you in a couple of weeks to promote this show that's going to be on.
What a good deal.
Yeah, I know.
What a nice deal.
What a crazy thing this is. All right. Can we, let's talk about Aladdin. A lot of parents are going to be forced to go to this movie. Are they going to like it?
Yeah, actually, this is kind of shocking because unlike Ro Khan, I try to watch the whole movie before reviewing it. And as you know, there were some misgivings about this movie. The first time they showed a picture of Will Smith, you know, he looked like an over-muscled member of Blue Man Group as the genie. And as you heard from that clip, the one thing we're sure of, that's definitely Will Smith singing because you can tell that he's singing because I think the Fresh Prince, you know, has a little trouble hitting some notes once in a while. But that being said, and Guy Ritchie directs this film, by the way. The guy that, you know, made his bones doing all these hard R action movies and then did the Sherlock Holmes films. He's known for those kind of hyperkinetic action movies. He actually does a really good job here. They blend the practical effects and the special effects. And one of the things I liked about it, Ro, you mentioned, it really isn't all ages. I mean, it's PG just because the subject matter is too complicated, really, for real little ones. But it really is a very sweet, noble, well-intentioned, colorful, fun, all-ages family movie. And we don't get too many of those.
Wow. It's hard.
That's good to hear.
Hard. First of all, the source material. Are they doing the same songs? That was not...
They are doing some of the same songs, so you're going to hear a new version of A Whole New World, which, of course, is probably the most famous song, right? Alan Menken, who wrote the songs, most of the songs for this version, has 8 Academy Awards. He's a Disney legend. But they also have some new songs. They've even they've really given Princess Jasmine a more empowered role, if you will, without it becoming some sort of feminist lecture. But she gets a new solo number, which will be for sure nominated for an Academy Award. And the cast for this live-action movie, Naomi Scott plays Princess Jasmine, Mena Massoud plays Aladdin. They're two of the most beautiful people you've ever seen in your life. They look like the actual drawings from the cartoon come to life.
Wow.
And they're both really good, because if they're not good together, you know, we have to root for them, because it's a sweet romance. And then they got a flying carpet, and they got that monkey, and they got that parrot, you know, all that stuff, all live-action, and they did a beautiful job with it.
Do you see any strings?
You
the
don't.
Carpet. Good. Okay. Because when we were at Disney World, my daughter pointed out the strings. She said, wait a minute. That would ruin it for everyone.
Oh, no. And you also don't see any bottles of water under anybody's
cups. Coffee
too
cups.
Too soon, like damn it. Mm. Too soon. I'm not done mourning yet.
I know.
All right.
Well, this sounds like a good one.
Yeah, so three stars.
Awesome.
For Aladdin. Very solid. And even though Will Smith, you know, there are a couple of moments when you first see him as the Blue Genie, everybody remembers Robin Williams voicing the character
sure.
of the animated movie from 20 years ago. But once he kind of settles into the role, he kind of plays a big brother type character, and he's at his most effective when he's at his quietest, and there's just some really nice exchanges between him and Prince Ali, a.k.a. Aladdin. Spoiler alert, Aladdin and Prince Ali are the same character.
Wow.
Oh, what is he doing?
What are you doing?
I'm going to give Shatner your number next.
The whole movie.
He's going to bother you. He keeps calling and calling.
Those kids playing at home.
What are you doing? All right. So you like it. That's good. And I think people...
Yeah.
Disney very rarely, misses. And this live action, this now, from animation to live action movement that they've got, started with the Jungle Book, there's this, I believe, the Beauty and the Beast, of course. And then you got, what's the big one that's coming up? Lion King,
next month. And they've done, they started doing it all the way back with 101 Dalmatians, which is kind of a good way to do it, which is, a nice story, but not one of their classics. So they kind of eased into it. And now I think they have another 15 planned of live action. Pretty much every animated Disney movie ever made is going to be made into a live action film. And yeah, they certainly know what they're doing. This is a beautiful looking film. I actually saw it in IMAX, not 3D, but just on the IMAX screen. If you got a chance to do that, you can afford that, folks. You should check it out on the IMAX screen. It's really something to behold.
All right. Very, very good. Right, what else would you like to tell us about here? I got a list. Hold on. I'll let you know in your order that you wanted. Booksmart and Brightburn.
I want to talk about Booksmart because this is basically like one of the John Hughes type high school movies, and it reminds me a lot of films like Superbad. It's an R-rated buddy film, but it's women, which I really love that they have in the lead roles here. And the director of this is Olivia Wilde, the actress Olivia Wilde.
Love her.
And it's just a really smart movie. Here's the setup, and we're gonna play a real quick clip for you guys. Two best friends, it's their last day of high school. They've spent 4 years deep in their studies, and they finally realize, oh God, we've never done anything to have any fun. So they finally decide to have a conversation about that. Here's a clip.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Let's go to Nick's party.
Are you kidding? No, no way.
We only have one night left to have studied and partied in high school. Otherwise, we're just gonna be the girls that missed out. We haven't done anything. We haven't broken any rules.
Okay. We've broken a lot of rules. One, we have fake IDs.
Fake college IDs so we can get into their 24-hour library.
Name one person whose life was so much better because they broke a couple of rules.
Picasso.
Yes, he broke art rules. Name a person who broke a real rule.
Rosa Parks.
Name another
one. Susan B. Anthony.
Damn it.
Cute dialogue.
Yeah, I like the very smart dialogue there. The two leads is that's Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein as best friends. And Beanie Feldstein is actually the younger sister of Jonah Hill. And even though they don't physically resemble each other, the mannerisms, and how he's always had that real confident on-air persona where he's really funny and owns the room, even though he doesn't conventionally look like a leading person.
Right.
She does the same thing. They're terrific together. I love the female perspective, but then it also just has a lot of this, the obligatory big giant party scene, the brush with the law, the blowout between the best friends, the crush that has never been, realized, all the things you see in high school movies. But almost every time they find a different way to showcase those scenes. I love this film. Booksmart gets 3.5 stars, guys. 3.5.
Wow.
That's like an A-minus for these kids who would be really mad because they've only had A's their entire high school lives.
Oh, Professor Roper. I knew he was going to do that. I knew it. Wow. All right.
I'm going to see that one.
Yeah,
Thank you, Richard Roper.
One that I'm hoping doesn't fly under the radar because I think people see it and they go, oh, is this just like some sort of girls movie or high school movie? It's not. It's just a good movie.
And it's in theaters. Is it one of those things that's going to be on Netflix in an hour?
No, it's in theaters. It's getting the real treatment. And Olivia Wilde, who people know, she's been in a million movies and TV shows, shows such a great touch as a director. And the screenplay is by four writers, all women. So they clearly had some people that really understood how maybe today's 17, 18-year-old young women sound.
All right. Ooh. And before we let you go, Brightburn?
Yeah, Brightburn's a disaster. Stay away from that.
Okay, thank you.
Imagine, here's the real quick setup for this. Imagine if Superman landed, Kal-El, you know, the baby, landed in the field in Kansas but was really evil. That's basically the setup here. What, you know, had all those superpowers but used them to murder people. That's basically Brightburn. It's got some unbelievably grotesque R-rated killings. And the mom and dad in this movie who find the little baby in the field are the stupidest people in the country. You want to kill them because they take this child in, even though he landed from outer space and seems to have superhuman powers and is very evil, and they keep protecting their kids. They're worse than Lori Loughlin when it comes to trying to get their kid too much advantage. 1.5 stars. Stay away from Brightburn. Families, go see Aladdin. Grown-ups, go see Booksmart.
Would you say that that was alien privilege then? Is that what that is?
There's totally alien privilege in Brightburn, and I'm offended by it, quite frankly.
Very good. All right. Thank you. Bill Shatner's on the line. I got to go.
Yeah, okay.
Bye.
His new
friend.
Next week. Say you had to call him Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Only certain people are allowed to call him Bill.
Hey, Bill. I see you.
Who knew he went by Bill? Did you know that already?
I don't know. I don't know anything. I swear to God, this has been the most bizarre 24 hours
really
of my life.
Has.
All right, let's check in now, Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump plans to sign a bill passed in the Senate today, even though he says he won't work with Democrats.